Okay, so last time I defined the Eisenstein series and gave one example. So today we'll study the constant terms of Eisenstein series and how automorphic R function shows up in the constant term of Eisenstein series. Hopefully, I'll finish that, and then next lecture I'll use that to prove meromorphic continuation of automorphic R functions in the next lecture. Okay, so since it has been 2 weeks, so let me remind you of Eisenstein series. There are two ways of defining Eisenstein series. So one way is you look at the, okay, so pi is now a cuspidal representation of the Levy. Okay, so we have P is a maximal parabolic subgroup. Okay, so we look at the induced representation, the global induced representation. So Eisenstein series is, let me denote this by FS. So this is summation over so either we define this way. So the problem is that now the dependence on S is now not clear. So you can define using holomorphic fiber bundle. So that's what we did last time. So another way of defining is you look at this induced representation is equivalent this holomorphic fiber bundle. So you look at the set of the functions of this form, phi exponential of S alpha tilde plus rho p hp. Here, phi belongs to this space H. So H is the space of functions. So phi is the function Okay, so functions on this space such that phi is right k finite, and the second for each m, each k, so we are fixing the also Yihua-Sawa decomposition, so p g is p times ga is pa times k. So k is the maximal compact subgroup. So for each k, so this function belongs to v pi. So v pi is the Let me denote by v pi is the cuspidal representation. Okay, so these are equivalent. So in that case, you can write down the Eisenstein series in this form. So gamma GF phi gamma G exponential of S alpha tilde plus rho p hp gamma g. Okay, so if you write this way, then the dependence on S is clear. So you can do some analysis with this. So the intertwining operator, so last time we, so the intertwining operator, so by the way, so last time I think I made a mistake that, so this actually, so it will depend on P here. So if only P is when self-conjugate, the intertwining operator goes to itself. So this will depend on I should have said P. Okay. So the intertwining operator pi fs, so in this form, so in this space, so the intertwining operator is integral over n. So let me, for simplicity, let's just assume that P is self-conjugate. So we don't, so P, let's say P is self-conjugate. So if P is not self-conjugate, then the integral is slightly different. So fs, w naught, and g, dn. And in this space, the intertwining operator will be given by dg minus s alpha tilde plus rho p h p g is v w naught g s alpha tilde plus rho p h p w naught and g d n. So we have these two forms. Okay, so I'm just assuming that P is self-conjugate. Okay, so if P is self-conjugate, then this this intertwining operator is intertwining operator on this space to itself. Okay? If it's not self-conjugate, then it will be a different space. Just on P. Yeah. So you can just move to the right. Yeah. Move to the right. Ah, that's the scalar. That's the scalar. Yeah, okay. Okay, so let me calculate a constant term of this eigenstate series. So constant term, by what I mean by constant term, so it's constant term. So constant term along a parabolic subgroup. So let Q. So Q has Levity composition MQ. So then the constant term by definition, this is, let me denote by EQ S pi. Phi. So this is a constant term, let's denote this way. So this is an integral, integral over this unipotent radical. So it's nq f nq a e s pi phi. Okay, I need another variable here, g. Okay, so g. N G D N. Okay, so this is a constant term of eigenstate series along parabolic subgroup. So if it is a eigenstate series formed from maximal parabolic, then this will be zero. This will be zero except, so this will be zero. So this is a fact, is this will be zero. Identically zero, unless Q is P and P prime. So remember that, okay, if you assume that P is self-conjugate, then we don't have P prime. Okay, so let's do, so remember that P is the parabolic subgroup attached to theta, where theta is delta minus alpha. So then P prime is the parabolic subgroup attached to W0 theta. Okay. So this, if we self-conjugate, then this is equal. So, OK. Okay, so we can do it in general. Okay, so let's, so it's zero. And if P is F conjugate, so this constant term, so this will be equal. So constant term is given by a sum of two terms. So one is just this one, and the other one is exactly that intertwining operator you get. So this is a sum of these two terms. So you get the phi g S alpha tilde plus rho p h p g plus m s pi phi g exponential of minus S alpha tilde plus rho p h p g. And if p is not self-conjugate, then the EP is just the EP is just this one, so CG exponential and the EP prime is the other one, so this is MS pi CG. Okay, so proof is just a simple. What? Probably no P prime probably. Yeah, I think. All right, so should be. Okay. Okay, so let me prove a proof of when the P self conjugate, proof of the case P self conjugate. So I mean this is a simple application of Brouhaha decomposition. So this is we use a Brouhaha decomposition. So Brouhaha decomposition is the F rational point is PF disjoint union. So this is a disjoint union of PF W naught inverse and F. Okay, so that's the Brouhaha decomposition. So you just write down the integral. So phi g, this is integral of by the way, this is a compact set. This is a compact because this is the point. So the summation of PF GF phi gamma and G exponential of S alpha tilde plus rho P HP gamma and G DN. Okay, so using this decomposition, so in this set it will be trivial in this set. So this will, so gamma is just the 1. So this is so gamma will be just 1, so it will be phi g And also remember that phi is invariant under n. Okay. So gamma, if gamma is 1, phi is invariant under n, and also this Hall-Chandler homomorphism is also invariant under n. So n disappears. Okay, so we get phi g hpg. Okay, so that's the first term which comes from here. And this one, gamma will be now, the coset representative will be W naught inverse n. So this will be summation, summation over n prime in NF, phi W naught inverse n prime n g s alpha tilde plus rho p hp W naught inverse n prime n g. Okay? And now we normalize the measure. So we normalize the measure on, so we take a measure. Measure on this compact set to be so that the volume is 1. The volume is 1. Okay, so then this is independent, so the integral will come out. So then this integral is, you can see that this is phi g s alpha tilde plus rho p hp g plus. Okay, now you can put this together, this integral and this summation, we can put together. Because we have n prime n, and you can put together, so then this will be just integral over na. You just put together, so this integral over phi w naught inverse n g s alpha tilde plus rho p h p w naught inverse n g p. And this integral is exactly, if you look at that intertwining operator formula, that's exactly you have. So that's exactly, that integral is exactly that intertwining operator. I'm assuming that P is a maximal parabolic. I thought that's the Brouhaha decomposition. That's 12, only 12.
No, but there's only one maximum parabolic which you have to learn about. So
only when your parabolic has a very part greater than minus 1 plus your 1, only in that case you have to learn about. I don't quite understand, but that's how this is usually done. Cuspidality shows up here because phi, for each k, this belongs to the space of pi.
It should be a lot more representative. Yeah, I mean, if you take a parabolic, cuspidality is going to kill all of them. Yeah. No, if you take a parabolic, the very part is GLM plus GLM, and this is a wonderful thing.
Um,
you have to take the full sum, not only the lower of the loan.
Okay.
It's a longer thing. It is harder than that.
Okay, let me check then. Okay, let me check that. Yeah, let me check. All right. Okay, so we prove that this has a analytic continuation to the whole complex plane. And so in the trace formula, so we can prove that actually Jim Cocker mentioned that this is an automorphic form. So this is an automorphic form. It's an automorphic form. In the sense of Jim Cocker's talk. But unfortunately, this is not square integrable. It's not square integrable. Okay. And so in the trace formula, you have to deal with at the unitary axis, okay, real S equals zero. Even there, it's not square integrable, automorphic form. Okay, so in order to see that, non-constant terms are rapidly decreasing, so it's well behaved. So you only have to check whether it's a square integrable or not on the constant term. Okay, constant term. So the measure on GA is such that, so this is a we can take the following measures. So GA of FG, this F is a compactly supported function on this other group. So this is, we take this kind of measures. So remember that, so this is F, N, M, 1, A, K, A. So if you want to decompose this measure on DG, on a measure on this each piece, since this is not unimodular, you have to multiply by something. So the correct factor is, so this is a dA, dK, dM1, dN. Okay? So this is not an invariant measure on G. So you have to multiply by something. So the correct factor is exponential of minus 2 rho P HP A. So that's the correct factor. So that this is an invariant measure. So remember that this Harishchandra homomorphism only depends on this part, A. Okay? So using this expression, you can see easily why this is not square integrable. Why this Eisenstein series is not square integrable. So in that, it's sum of two parts, okay? And the second part is okay. This is square integrable. But the first part is not. So remember that the alpha tilde is normalized in such a way that the exponential of S alpha tilde HP Y, this is a Y to the S. Here we are identifying this part with R plus. Okay? So under this identification, okay, so let me remind you what these objects are. So remember that MA, MF, it has the following decomposition. So this is MA1 times AR. plus. So this is the kernel of the Harishchandra homomorphism. So this is the connected component or center of the R point. Okay? And so under this isomorphism, this Harishchandra homomorphism takes this value. Okay? And the exponential of rho p, h p y will be y to the some power r. So r is the evaluation of alpha. So if you look at the first factor, so that's y to the s plus r, right? And some a very nice function here, a nice function. So if you take a square, and integrate, and the fundamental domain looks like you have to integrate from y to the some positive number, let's say a to the infinity. The fundamental domain looks like this, okay? And then you have to multiply that factor there. So this will be y to the minus 2r dy. So now dy, you have to put the multiplicative measure. So multiplicative measure is dy over y. So we have to check whether this integral converges or not. Okay? So if you look at this integral, this is a to the infinity. So since this is a cusp form, for the convergence purpose, we can ignore that. Okay, so let's ignore that. So this is y to the real part of s plus 2 times 2r, y to the minus 2r, y to the dy. So this cancels, and so this converges for real part of s is less than 0. So real part of s equals 0, it doesn't converge at the unitary axis. Okay, so. But the second term is okay. Second term is square integrable. Okay? So when you take a residue of Eisenstein series, usually the pole shows up in a intertwining operator. So if you take a residue, on the first term disappears. So second term remains. So that's why you get the square integrable automorphic forms. Okay. So the point is that this is not square integrable. It's not square integrable. So, in order to remedy this situation, we introduce a so-called pseudo-Eisenstein series. Okay, so let me explain pseudo-Eisenstein. Okay, so that's the following topic, pseudo-Eisenstein. So basically, we have to multiply something here. We have to, this phi is not enough. So we have to multiply some very nice function of s. So we have to multiply, we need to consider PG, and then we have to multiply some nice function, H of S, you know, to kill that part. So the H will be a Fourier transform. So this will be a Fourier transform of compactly supported. A transform function of compactly supported. Okay, so what I'm saying is that H if S is defined to be 0 to infinity, H hat y to negative S, dy of y. So each here, each head is compactly supported function on the real line. So if you, so this is a scalar function. So if you multiply to phi, it doesn't affect any the space over there. Okay? But then that this will, this function will well behave. So let's take a inverse Fourier inversion. So in order to get the Fourier inversion, we use the following trick. They exclude zero. This R plus is a positive real line. So in order to get a Fourier inversion, let's let y to be e to the x, and let s to be sigma plus it. So then the hs is you get the following familiar form. So h e to the x e to the minus x sigma plus it dx. So then so this is very familiar now. So you can apply the Fourier inversion. If you take a Fourier inversion, then the h hat e to the x e to the minus x sigma is 1 over 2 pi integral from minus infinity to infinity hs e to the I x t dt. So okay, so so h hat y, so if you put sigma is if you put sigma 0, then you get 1 over 2 pi integral infinity sigma 0, you move this to the right hand side, you get hs e to the ys dt. So if you're now if remember that s is sigma plus it, so this is the real part of s is sigma hs ys ds. You put I there. Okay, so you have that following Fourier inversion formula. Okay. All right, so now let phi hat. Phi hat g to be phi g and h hat exponential of alpha hat h p g and exponential of rho p h p g. Okay, so now we consider this function. We put extra factor there to make a nice function. So then, we consider the following, the function, phi hat g. So this is called a pseudo Eisenstein series. So this is the same formula as Eisenstein series. The same formula. So now this is a nice function because remember the h hat is compactly supported. It's compactly supported, so we don't have a convergence problem. Okay. And so you plug in this, and you plug in this formula. Plug in this formula here. So eventually you get So plug in this integral here, and you can switch the integration, summation and integration, because this is compactly supported, so you can switch the integral. So you get the following integral. This is grid HS okay, so this formula. And now this is a square integrable. So this pseudo Eisenstein series is square integrable. So the upshot is that this is square integrable. So in the in other textbooks like Morgan and Weiss Project, so they put this together. They put the phi and h together, so you can observe this into definition of phi. So let me just briefly explain. So in Morgan and Weiss Project, they basically observed into definition of phi. So in the following way. So we consider the following function. Phi is to be the Fourier transform of the following function. Y, G, dy. So here y, assuming that this belongs to plus. So this is a Fourier transform. So then you can prove that, so phi gs, so for each s, so this function belongs to the global induced representation space. And you get the following formula. So of course this is a compactly supported. So I have to make sure that the y goes to phi yg is compactly supported. So for each g. So we put a very nice function. And so this is GS, DS. So we get the Fourier, if we apply Fourier inversion, you get this formula. So anyway, so in this case, pseudo Eisenstein series is again the same by same formula. And if you apply these two definitions, then you get the following integration formula: S pi V G D S. So basically same thing, but I just observed this into definition of phi. Okay, so, I mean that's the formula you see in the Morgan and Weiss Project book. Okay. So the basic idea is now you deform the contour, this contour. So this is the contour here, and this sigma is very big. Okay, outside the line of absolute convergence. So now you move this contour to the left. You move to the contour to the left, and you move the contour up to the unitary axis. And Remember that I think I wrote down that the poles of this Eisenstein series are all on this real line here. So from 0 to rho p alpha, you know, notation r. So all the poles are on this right here. Okay. So if you move this contour to the left, you will pick up the pole here. So that will contribute to the discrete spectrum, and then at the unitary axis, so there will be the continuous spectrum. So let me make a remark there. Okay, so and so this is completely general. This can, you can do it for arbitrary parabolics. So let me just make a remark. So a set of T can be defined for all parabolic subgroups. I think I made a remark that the global intertwining operator is bounded in vertical strip on the, at least on the right half plane. So there is no problem moving contour. Okay, so it can be defined all, so let GF GA omega, so omega was the in the, so m pi, let's denote the m pi. So this to be the closure, this is the closure of the subspace. Generated by theta phi hat. So we consider for all such a function phi, and we form this pseudo Eisenstein series. Pseudo Eisenstein series are square integral holomorphic forms, and you take a closure. Okay? So we denote this way, and we put the equivalence relation. What? Yeah, we fix Levy and cuspid representation. And we consider, I mean, remember I defined H, so we look at all the cusp forms. And so we put equivalence relation. So equivalence relation among M1 and pi1, M2, pi2 is that if there exists a vowel group element such that Wm1 is m2, W pi1 is pi2. Okay. And so this is the fundamental theorem of Langlands. So that's the following theorem. Okay, so we have the following orthogonal decomposition. This square integral space is the direct sum of all those space. Okay, so it moves all the equivalence class. And second, let's denote by discrete spectrum, DIS. So this is, so we call this a discrete spectrum. discrete part of that space. So this is spanned by residues of eigensensees. For in this interval, S rho p alpha. So all the, remember I told you that all the poles are in this range from on the real axis. Okay, so the remaining one is the continuous spectrum. So we'll denote by phi and t. So this is a continuous spectrum, so called so this is spanned by the integral at the unitary axis, so 2 pi I 0. Okay. And so the continuous spectrum is well understood. It's just the integral of eigensensees at the unitary axis. Yeah, you have trouble?
Well, no, I'm just wondering about are you doing this for all maximal parabolas or all parabolas?
I from this point on, I said all parabolas. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. So number two is okay, number two is only for maximal power. Okay, sorry. Okay, so this is only for maximal power. Okay, okay, so if you get rid of this, so then this is, so arbitrary parabolic, then you have to take an iterated residue. Okay, so that's the most complicated one. Anyway, so this is still open. I mean, this determination of this is called the residual spectrum is still open except for many several particular cases, because calculating iterated residue is very complicated. Okay, so yeah, that's right. Okay, so so the discrete spectrum,
what?
Okay, sorry, yeah, thanks. All right. Okay, okay, so these are maximal parabolic case, but for arbitrary parabolic, it will be given by just you deform the contour one by one, you go to zero. Okay. So this. So this is called a discrete spectrum. And so you can divide it into two parts, where the cusp form the cuspal part, so cuspal part is when, so this is when m equals g. Okay, so this is m equals g, and the remaining part is so-called the residual spectrum. So let me denote this way. So this is part M is different from G. Okay, so for GL2 case, for GL2 case, The residual spectrum is very simple. So residual spectrum is just the one-dimensional characters. So this is just the omega to the determinant. I think I have to put square root. So mu square is omega. Just the one-dimensional characters. So that's the just residue of Eisenstein series. So anyway, as I said, for arbitrary parabolic, so determining this is wide open. I mean, of course, determining all the cross forms is more difficult. But all right, so number five. This we are taking a compact functional support here, so the convergence is not a problem. Yeah, that's right. I mean, for truncation, you cut off at some point, so it's not. If you truncate, it's not smooth. I mean, so if you truncate, I think you don't get the automorphic forms, square integral automorphic forms. It will be square integrable, but it's not automorphic form. This is long. Okay, so you can get the formula for the inner product of two pseudo Eisenstein series. So this is basically inner product in the L2 space. So this is just this integral. And you can calculate this. So this will be 1 over 2 pi. I mean, again, this is only for maximal parabolic case. I mean, I'm just interested in maximal parabolic. So this is the sum over this Fowler group element. Okay, so so this C is that C is this C. So we have remember that I defined a Sesky linear form. This is a Sesky linear form. Sesky linear form on I s pi and I minus s far pi. See, one of these, in this induced representation space. Yeah, so this will be the trivial, so this will be the yeah, so this is the set of bar group element. So this is okay, so let me write down. So this is the bar group set of bar group elements such that W M1 pi 1 is M2 pi 2. Okay. Okay. So it's not dependent on pi, so it's a poor choice of notation. Okay, so anyway, so this bar group elements is the bar group element which fixes this. Remember that this is a conjugate class, an equivalence relation. So this is basically either trivial or 1 or W naught. Either one element or two elements. In this maximal parabolic subgroup case. Okay. So this is a Sesc linear form I defined earlier. Okay. So the corollary is that So then the L2 norm. So this is L2 norm. So if you take the same one, so L2 norm is just the 1 over 2 pi I so W to be the okay, so L2 norm is given by this. Okay, so this phi belongs to phi s belongs to the global induced representation space. Okay, global. I mean, phi is basically this phi. Okay. So if you look at this carefully, okay. So this gives the following corollary. So corollary is that unless P is self-conjugate, or the pi is fixed by this bar group element. Okay. So this thing is trivial. Okay, so that means that this thing is holomorphic. This thing is holomorphic. Okay? So you can move the contour. You can move the contour to a unitary axis. So that means that there is no residue there. There is no discrete spectrum. Okay? So corollary is that unless this is holomorphic. So the Eisenstein series. The Eisenstein series has no pole for real s bigger than equal to 0. So the poles of Eisenstein series are contained in the constant term. That's Langlands proved. And so that will imply that if Eisenstein series has no pole, then this intertwining operator is no pole. It's holomorphic for real part of S is greater than 0. Okay, so this fact is the fact we'll use in the future. Okay, so this fact, so this statement, so unless P is self-conjugate, or pi is fixed by W naught, this is holomorphic. Okay? So that fact we'll use a lot. So in some cases, this condition means that the pi is a self-conjugate, okay? But not always. What did you say? And, okay, and. Sorry, yeah, thanks. I mean, the both condition must be met, you know, to have this fact. Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what I'm going to calculate. Hopefully, I'll calculate for SL2K. Okay, I think I'll do that right now. Okay, so before moving on, let me just make a remark is that so if S naught is a pore of this eigenstate series, okay, we let's denote E minus 1. So this is a residue, the residue of so it is residue of Eisenstein series and n minus 1 to be the residue of the global intertwining operator. Oh, yeah, that's right, thanks, yeah. So let's get rid of pi, S. Okay, so then this is a square integrable, automorphic forms, as I said. So this is a square integrable. And that generates this space. That generates the irreducible subspace of this. The residual spectrum, okay. And the L2 norm. So L2 norm is basically if you look at this inner product formula. So if you look at the inner product formulas, and L2 norm is basically given by. M minus 1, so let's see. So phi, the Sesky linear form. So it will be given by this Sesky linear form. Okay. And this is one remark. And the second remark is that the Eisenstein series can be, I mean, so far we defined Eisenstein series for cusped representations. But as we saw this morning, Eisenstein series can be defined for the residual representation. That's what we call a degenerate Eisenstein series. So let me just make a remark. So Eisenstein series can be defined for the residual representation. So this is the residual representation which is belongs to the residual spectrum. So for example, if you look at the G to be the symplectic group, and the P is the Ziegler parabola, so M is GLN, and so. One of the residual representation is a character, so chi determinant is a residual representation. Here, chi is the, let's say, gross end character of F, and that's the residual representation. So that this is a you can obtain this representation. So this belongs to L2 space, okay? L2, and that comes from the Eisenstein series obtained from Borel subgroup. So this will be chi. This is a quotient. As you can see, the residual spectrum, residual representations are basically the quotient of global induced representations. Okay? So this, so another point is that, so this, okay, anyway, quotient of the following global induced representations, m minus 1, chi m minus 1 divided by 2 minus 1 all the way to minus m minus 1 divided by 2. And so you can form, we can form global induced representations. So we can form this global induced representations with some modulus function, some power to the some power, okay? Okay, so and then you can form the Eisenstein series. And one of the particular case of this Eisenstein series is Ziegler Eisenstein series. You can get Ziegler Eisenstein series by choosing chi very carefully. So you get Ziegler Eisenstein series. So like a determinant of Cz plus D to the negative S. A, B, C, D belongs to symplectic SP 2n Z. Let's skip that. I mean, that's not it. I mean, just what I'm trying to say is that you can define Eisenstein series for arbitrary representations. And the Langlands show that Eisenstein series from this kind of residual representation is the iterated residue of Eisenstein series attached to cuspidal representations. So we call this cuspidal Eisenstein series, and that's the residual Eisenstein series. Okay. So now the remaining 20 minutes, I will calculate explicitly this one for SL2 case, and then next time I will do it for arbitrary parabolics. Okay. So now we have this intertwining operator. So let's consider this as an intertwining operator from S pi to S minus S W naught pi. Okay? We look at that. And so if you look at the induced representation space, so let's look at space of representation we denote by VS pi. And by definition, F belongs to VS pi V. V is in S, and except for finite in many places, it has to be a spherical representation. So V, let's denote by V naught zero. V belongs not in S. So here S is a finite set of places. Including Archimedean places. Such that FV naught is spherical vector. And FV naught at the identity is 1. Okay, so let's, you know, let's take F to be, F is given by a pure tensor, and so FV is FV naught for V is in, V is not in S. Okay, so then remember that this intertwining operator is integral over NA. So this you can decompose. So MS pi F. So you can decompose into the local intertwining operators. So you get V is an S A, S pi V, W naught, F V, tensor with A, S pi V, W naught, F V naught. So you can have this, you can product of local intertwining operators. Okay. So now I'll compute. So when you calculate this for cyclical vector, then you get the L function shows up. Okay. So I will compute this in the SL2 case and see if you get. Okay, so I think I have enough time. So so now let's compute the computation of A S pi V W naught in the case of SL2. So in SL2 case, basically pi is basically the character of the torus. So we have to calculate chi. So let's keep it simple. So let's just take qp. So we have to calculate chi p. So unramified means that chi p is the unramified character. Okay. So this is chi p is the unramified character. So our integral will be fp naught g. So our integral will be the following integral. Integral over the unipotent radical is 1, 1, 0, x, fp naught w naught inverse, and g dn. So this is the intertwining operator for I S chi P to I minus S chi P inverse. So that's the intertwining operator. So now let's calculate this integral explicitly. Okay, so this FP is the unique spherical function. Such that FP naught K is 1. Yeah, K is SL2Z ZP. So this is the maximal compact subgroup. And F belongs to this induced representation space. So that means that it satisfies the following property. So I think this is you already saw in Jim Cocker's talk this morning. So it belongs to induced representation space means they satisfy this. So using this, you can compute this integral. So okay, so let's do that. So let's compute S chi p. FP naught at the identity. So this is integral over QP FP 0 W naught nimbus n dx. Okay, so x belongs to dx. So let me recall those who have, let me recall the measure on this QP. So the measure dx satisfies the following property. So measure f x y dy is x inverse QP f y dy, and the integral over ZP, ZP takes value 1. ZP takes value 1. And the integral over ZP cross at the units. Set of units takes a measure 1 minus 1 over P. Okay, so these are the three properties we need to calculate this. And so, and the integral over P minus M ZP cross dx. So this is PM, 1 minus 1. So PM ZP cross dx. So we have all the ingredients we need. So this is the property of the measure. Okay? So any x can be written in this way, P equals P to the negative M times U. So M is integer and U is the units. So these are units. Okay, so now let's compute. So if N is 1x, 0, 1, and W naught in this case is 0, 1, minus 1, 0. So that's the W naught. And you can verify this easily, that this can be written in this way. X inverse 0, 0, X, 1 minus X, 0, 1, 1, 0, X inverse 1. So you can compute, you can verify very easily. So if x belongs to ZP, so if x belongs to ZP, then this whole thing belongs to ZP. It belongs to maximal compact, so it's 1. So FP 0W not inverse N is just 1. And if x belongs to P minus M U, where M is greater than equal to 1, then FP W naught inverse N. So we apply these two conditions here. Okay, and so this will be pi P PM P minus M S plus 1. We just apply this decomposition and this one. Okay, so now we are almost done. So this integral we divide into two integral over ZP plus M goes to 1 through infinity, M goes to infinity, integral over P minus M ZP cross FP naught W naught M dN. All right, so we have all the information from this. So this whole thing is 1, so this is 1 plus. And this thing is this, and so you can come out of the integral. So this is chi p pm p minus m as plus 1, and the p minus m zp cos dn. And we have that integral there. So you got 1 plus. So let me denote this way. P to the nth power, and this is P minus S to the nth power. And you get P minus M. And this thing is PM 1 minus 1 over P. So this is canceled. Okay, so this thing come out. So 1 plus, so you get geometric series. 1 over P, sigma m equals 1 through infinity, chi p to the p, p minus s to the nth power. So you get geometric series. Okay, so 1 plus 1 minus 1 over P, 1 minus chi p, p, p minus s, chi p, p, p minus s. And so if you simplify this, so I'll leave that as an exercise. So you just, if you simplify this, you get chi p, p, p minus s is in the denominator. And numerator, it becomes 1 minus chi p, p, p minus s minus 1. So in terms of L function, in terms of L function, this will be L S plus L S chi p, L S plus 1 chi p. In terms of the user L function, so that's the formula. Okay. All right. So over arbitrary field, so over SL2 FB, over arbitrary field, we just have to, so you get S chi B FB 0 will be LS chi B LS plus 1. You just to substitute, so here LS chi B is 1 minus chi B, the uniformizer, QB minus S inverse. So, I mean, exactly the same calculation, except we substitute this P by Q, something like that. All right, so basically this will take care of I erased. But anyway, so this will take care of almost all places. So if you multiply all the primes where spherical vectors show, so you get the partial L function. Partial Dirichlet L function shows up. And so you get the Meromorphic continuation right away from Meromorphic continuation of Eisenstein series, but not the functional equation, but anyway, the Meromorphic continuation. Okay, so next time, I'll calculate for general group. So we have to use inducing in stages. So when you have two parabolics, so you have to use the inducing in stages. You can define the induced representations, inducing in stages, because spherical representations are basically subquotients of the principal series. So if you take this induced representation can be embedded into a principal series. Okay? So you can reduce all the calculation to the calculation of the principal series. So for this one, we can use a co-cycle relation for intertwining operators. Okay, and we reduce the calculation to SL2 calculation. Okay, so then you get the formula, so-called Kindikin Kapelevich formula for this intertwining operators for spherical representation. And so, and then after that, that will immediately imply the meromorphic continuation of Eisenstein series due to Langmuir's. And then after that, we have to restrict ourselves to generative representations in order to get the functional equation. Use the Shaidis method. Okay, so I'll stop here.